Hello, this is Joe McGee. You know, we've been doing seminars across the country for years. Seminars on marriage, parenting, men, money, and family. We want to encourage you to email us and let us know if this podcast has helped you. Or maybe you have joined us live at one of our seminars. If you have a testimony, you just want to tell us what God's doing in your life, please email us at mail@joemcgeeministries.com, or you can contact us through our website, joemcgeeministries.com. There you will find helpful articles and tools to help you grow in God, your marriage, and your family. We love you guys, and we hope you enjoy the podcast. Hey, everybody, we're back with Maureen Gray. We're having some great time here. Angel, you want to kick this thing off?
I do. You know, I know your story. I know that there's been a lot of broken trust between your family members, your spouse, me at one point, which we can tell that, and I'll cry.
Truth sets you free.
Yeah, no, it does. I mean, how do you move forward from that and not take that into different relationships?
That's a great question. That is a really great question.
Not sure I'm doing that.
Well, before I go into how to move forward to it, let's talk about what broken trust feels like.
Yeah, let's talk about that.
Because lots of times we want to just fix what's broken without really knowing what really is broken.
We don't want to fix it. We just want to act nice.
Yeah.
Especially in public.
Yeah.
We act nice in public.
Yeah.
That covers up everything.
Yeah. And everybody has a different way of dealing with broken trust. Whether you keep people at arm's length, whether you are a people pleaser. I'm going to throw my husband under the bus. He's here. He's a people pleaser. Mm-hmm. So he had so much broken trust in his life. And the way that he dealt with it was he ran around and tried to make people like him. Do everything for him. What can I do for you? What can I do for you? What can I do for you? What can I get you? Would you like a LaCroix? So those drinks. He asked me one time in one day, 45 times, if I wanted a LaCroix. I now hate LaCroix. What can I buy you? What can I do? That's how he dealt with broken trust. How I dealt with broken trust is I'm not going to trust anybody. I'm not going to trust anybody. Oh, except God. For us in the church, we don't trust people, but we do trust God. And the trouble with that is that's a lie.
The trouble is, God can only move through people. So if you don't trust people, you're out to lunch.
That is true.
That is so true. That even slingshots back to what I said about in our last podcast about me not having giving any power to words.
Yeah,
I took away all the God uses words. God uses what He speaks to speak life, and I took away all that power. But anyhow, back to trust. I had broken trust from the time I never had trust. I never knew what trust was like because the people who were supposed to take care of me didn't. And the people who were supposed to love me didn't. And the people who were supposed to protect me didn't. So it was up to me. So I trusted in myself. And when I came to the Lord, while He loved me, I did not experience trust. Because there was a lot of things He didn't do that I thought He
should have done. Yep.
And the people told me if I'd just done something more, He would have done that. If I just believed more, prayed more,
I didn't run far enough, fast enough, something I did not do.
So God showed up for me when He wanted to. And this sovereignty was a hard thing for me. And trust, yes, I trusted God to save my soul, but everything else was kind of unpredictable.
Right.
That's hard.
Yeah. And so I think I have to go back to this moment. My son was 20 years old. We'd battled with all sorts of things with him. He'd gotten into drugs over trying to numb a situation and not deal with something and that was very harmful and hurtful to him when he was about 12. And so this had been going on for about 6 years. And he had overdosed. And so it was a place in our life that I had tried very, very, very hard never to get to. And yet he was there. And he was laying there on a ventilator, and the doctor said he had about 4 hours to live. And I was on one side of the bed, and my husband was on the other side of the bed. And I sat there, and you'd think at that point when you're told your son's going to die that you would be praying or weeping or begging or something. And I was just silent because it was like, this is where my life has brought me. And in that quietness of that moment, I felt like the Lord said to me, "Do you trust me?" And I had always proclaimed my trust in God, because it was always God who got us through everything. And he'd always, you know, when you get through, go through something and you look back and you go, "Oh, God was so good." But here I am in the middle of death, and God doesn't look good, feel good, or anything. And he goes, "Do you trust me?" And I flat out said, "No, I don't. Because look what trusting you has gotten me. That you are going to take the thing that I love most. And then you're going to require me to praise you anyway. So no, I don't trust you, God. Not anymore." I didn't feel his presence dissipate or anything dramatic happen. But about 15 minutes later, I felt like the Lord said, "Can you trust me?" To which I responded, "I could, but I choose not to. Because again, you have proven untrustworthy in my life. The only thing I've cared about it are my kids. That's the only thing I've asked you. Everything else that we've lost, we've lost relationships, we've lost ministries, we've lost finances. Tim and I were really losing our marriage. But all I've asked you to keep is my kids. And so I could trust you, but I'm not going to." And again, time went by. And then I sensed the Lord say, "But will you trust me anyway?" And that was a moment for me that was different than the other two. It was like this, "Do you trust me?" To which we're supposed to say yes. And lots of times we will mentally agree to that. "Yes, I trust you." And so there was a yes, no answer. The "can you trust me" almost felt like when we ask our kids, "Can you go do this for me?" We don't really mean "can you?" We really mean, "You need to go do this for me." So it felt a little bit like that. But this, "Will you trust me anyway?" felt like an invitation. Like I could say yes or no. Like I was being invited into something. And I sat there and I was like, if I say yes, Sam will die. And that was the first moment I realized that I believe that's who God was. He was the kind of God that was waiting for me to put my trust in him so that he could kill what I love most. And if I said, "No, I won't trust you," what would I have? He's all I've got. So it was about 30 minutes of those kind of hot tears that just run down your face that you can't stop. You're not like, your shoulders aren't really shaking. It's not this cathartic cry. It's this emptying of something so deep. And then at the end of that, I said, "Yes, I will trust you." And then I geared for Sam to die. And instead, Sam's organs started functioning. And one by one, he started to get better. And by the time he was supposed to be dead, they were going, "I don't know what's happened, but we're going to be able to get him out of this coma. We're going to be able to take him off the ventilator." And I was thinking, "Oh God, that's all you wanted. You just wanted to hear my heart go, 'Yes, I will trust you no matter what.'" And so when the ventilator is being pulled out, we're all around him. His sisters and his dad and I were, he's probably seen Jesus. He's probably running the meadow with him. He's probably going to come out and go, "I've seen Jesus. I'm called to the nations. I'm going to go preach the gospel of the goodness of God." And they pull the ventilator out and we're all there. And he's like, "Can I have a cigarette?"
Yeah. Woo.
And boom, The air left the room. Oh, my girl started crying. I sat down in the chair and I was like, but I told you I'd trust you anyway. Mm. And something had happened inside of me. Now I looked across the bed at my husband and he did not have the same reaction. Hope left him that day. Mm. Hope left him that God was even good and would even care about his son. Mm-hmm. But for me, God started doing something with me about trust and dealing with me on what I really believed and who I really believed he was. I was saying I loved God so much, but it's hard to love someone you cannot trust. And it's hard to walk with someone that you do not trust. And so there had to be an integration. And God started dealing with me on that. And in that, in the course of that, things got worse in my family. Things got worse between my husband and I. And my husband, who'd always like tried hard to be, you know, like I said, he was this people pleaser running around and everybody was like, oh, it must be so awesome to be married to him. And I'm like,
yeah. Oh, we love that, don't we? Oh, we love that.
I get that sometimes too.
And I thought it was my duty to tell everybody the truth.
I don't think that's changed, Maureen.
No. And Tim had always been trying so hard and he loved ministry and he loved serving people. And he was really active on the good leaves of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. He was active. He was swinging on those branches. He was doing great. And after that day, he jumped to the evil leaf. It's like he walked away from everything that he had held dear. Mm-hmm. And so things got really challenging and he broke trust in our marriage in a way that while there was not infidelity, it was a betrayal of everything that we had built and everything that we had worked for. And it was a betrayal financially. It was a betrayal relationally. It was a betrayal to just to everything. And I just had no more trust in him. No more. In fact, he asked me one day, well, what was I going to do about it? And I said, I don't know, but I just can't live like this anymore. And he goes, well, you love God too much and your family too much. To which I responded before thinking, I actually hate you more than I love God right now. And it was a wake-up call because I went upstairs and I said, God, I meant that, didn't I? And he goes, yeah, you did. What are you going to do about it? I'm like, I have no idea, but I can't trust my own husband. And over the next few years, next couple of years, there's been a lot of things that have reactivated that broken trust, to which the Lord has said this, because not very long ago I said, I just don't trust him. I can forgive. I extend forgiveness. After I've gotten a certain amount of healing, that's another thing. We're always telling people to forgive and forgive and forgive before they even get healed to a point that they can forgive. I had to get healed to a point where I could really extend true forgiveness to Tim. I could forgive him. I could even love him. I could even see him the way God saw him, but I could not trust him. And so I said, I don't know what I can do because I cannot trust you. And Tim had nothing to say. So I went back to the Lord and I said, I can't trust him. And he goes, I understand, but can you trust me? And so here we are again. Can I trust? Will I trust him? Do I trust him? No. Can I trust him? I could, but that's proved pretty disastrous. But will I trust? And so while that doesn't give you a formula of, oh, and you do this and this and this and trust is rebuilt, it gives a place to stand in knowing that God is the one that we trust. He is the one that we trust. And when he tells us to do something or to not do something or to hang on or to wait or to hope or to fight or to believe or to declare, then we can know because he is a trustworthy God that he will never lead us astray.
You know, the one thing, I used to love the taught Bible stories for years at Christian school. one of the stories I love, you know, Jesus comes to this dad. Son's got epilepsy. He's trying to throw himself in the fire and kill himself. And Jesus is coming, and he's gonna heal him, set him free, cast the devil out of him. And he asked the father, he said, do you believe I can do this? And it's like, is that important? Yeah, because I'm limited by what you believe. And God says, well, Lord, I believe. Can you help my unbelief? He said, well, I can do that too. Yeah. And God will meet us right where we are. He's like, well, you know, if he can take two steps forward, three steps back, and turn south and, you know, face the north wind, I think it'll work. No, can you just trust me in this thing? Yes, I can, because I have no other option, but that is the thing to do. I'm going to trust God. Yeah, he's going to work this out. How? Yeah. I don't know, and I don't care. He's going to work it out.
Yeah.
That's true. That's true. So, you know, even in our friendship, you know, we went through a phase where there was broken trust. And my fault, I accept full responsibility.
Praise God. Are we recording this? We got a record of that. Praise God. Yes, we have recorded. Yes, there's a God in heaven. Praise the Lord.
Thank you, Joe. Thank you for that.
Well, that's the first cheek I've seen in your army. Praise God. I'm excited. I think you're normal now. I love you even more, sugar.
Woo! And I mean, I wasn't in the healthiest of places by any means. And was making decisions, you know, I mean, my life in retrospect was it looked great on the outside, but it was in a difficult place. And so, you know, I had to make a decision that very much hurt you and Tim. And I didn't have to make the decision. I did make the decision that very much hurt you and Tim. The graciousness of you was in when I was in the middle of my divorce, when it was just starting, actually, you were the one, and I can still remember it, and I'll cry if I think about it. And I told Joe, I was at the theater one day, I was taking my kids, I was just a zombie, basically. And I remember I was standing in line to get the kids some popcorn, and I heard your voice say, I thought that was you. And immediately, peace just flooded my heart, because I thought, we've had this break for several years where we didn't speak, but yet here, in my darkest moment, you were the one I could count on, and you were there, and you were there throughout that process, and have been ever since then. And so it speaks volumes about your character and the kind of person that you want to you are and want to be. So in the midst of all of that, when you could have easily said, I'm done, that's it, but you still open your heart to, like, your husband when you felt that betrayal, to me when you felt that betrayal, and I'm sure over and over again. I mean, what is it in you that gives people another chance?
You know, it sounds like such a cliche thing, but it truly is the Lord. It mm-hmm. truly is the Lord, and it's wanting to, I so desire to look like him. Mm. I so desire to look like him, because I don't want to be the me that is covered with all of the broken conclusions of my life.
Mm.
And so I can go back to that moment with you, because we had such a unique friendship.
Yes.
We had such a unique, we worked together, mm-hmm. we did ministry together, we dreamed together. Like, you were the first person I really ever dreamed with.
Right.
Especially as a woman. Like, I dream with my husband.
Mm-hmm.
But because of everything with my mom, I didn't trust women.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd been hurt over and over. And so I'd really open up my heart to you. And I let you see parts of me.
Mm-hmm.
And we would laugh about those parts.
Yes.
And nobody else really knew about those parts, but we thought we were hilarious in those broken parts of ourselves. So I had let myself become not just authentic with you, but vulnerable.
Mm-hmm.
And when there was a rift in our relationship, it was so much more than just, oh, we don't see eye to eye, or you're going one direction, I'm going another direction. It was to the very foundations of me, because mm-hmm. it felt, again, I was being rejected
mm-hmm.
for who I was and who I let you see me to be.
Gotcha.
And so there was just that trust was mm-hmm. just shattered. Mm-hmm. You know, broken is one thing, shattered is another. And
I think it's almost, I don't really like you, but evidently I love you. And I don't want to, but evidently I do.
Yeah.
But I really don't like you. I don't want to. It's funny how God shows up in those odd moments.
I think she liked me.
Oh, yeah, she does. I'm just a third party here. Yeah. I'm just thumbing down the road. I'm just,
go ahead.
There's a going road. Yeah. Yeah.
There he goes. And so over the years that we didn't talk, I had acted like it didn't matter.
Mm-hmm.
And so and every time I did see you, there was not... It wasn't warm and fuzzy.
No,
it was not warm and fuzzy. And so there was this part that I just, put away. And it didn't matter. It didn't mm-hmm. matter. And I just go on and everything. But I was never going to open up again mm-hmm. to somebody else like mm-hmm. that. It was like, okay, I should have learned my lesson. Mm-hmm. I didn't learn my lesson. But when everything was going on with you and you were just, I had heard about it.
Oh, I'm sure you did.
You know, because it was very public and it was very, and I couldn't imagine the pain.
Mm-hmm.
And the one thing is, for me, is I've been so alone in my pain that I don't want other people to be alone in their pain.
Mm-hmm.
Even, no matter what, mm-hmm. I don't want other people to be alone in their pain. And so I'd been praying for you,
mm-hmm.
which to me, that's a huge thing in being able to have restored broken trust.
Yeah.
You start to pray for the person that has broken your trust and you begin to have God's heart towards them
mm-hmm.
and you begin to see them differently. And I've been praying for you and I've actually been praying that I would be able to, you know, just see you.
Mm-hmm.
And so then when I was leaving the theater, I didn't see you, but I dropped my keys. Coincidence? I think not. But I dropped my keys and I picked them up and I saw you getting popcorn with Sumner and Nicole.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, oh, thank you, Lord. I'm so glad I got to see her. Bless her. Whatever. I started to walk out and I felt like the Lord wanted me to go back and I didn't. I went through that first set of doors at that theater. And by the time I got to the second set, I thought, I need to go back. And my heart was racing because I didn't know. Somebody in pain sometimes will lash out, and we hadn't been talking, and mm-hmm. I didn't know how you were going to respond, and I was like, am I going to take the risk of rejection?
Mm-hmm.
And honestly, that was the first time I'd taken a risk of rejection, that I knew I was taking a risk. And when I walked up to you and I go, Angel, I thought that was you, and you turned to me, and then we hugged, and it is still... Like there was just a moment there that God was there.
He was there.
And his heart was there. And it was just, it was like all those years passed, just went away.
It did.
God healed something.
He did.
So terrifically. And then built, it didn't go back to where it was.
No, it went.
To a deeper and a more real place.
It did.
And
if you hadn't taken that step, that's what people don't get sometimes. Like, well, I'll do something, they do something. Well, I'll do something, they do something. No, somebody's got to take the first step. The Bible says, pray for those that abuse you, misuse you. I want to pray for them. I pray a she-bear come out of the woods and rip their head off. I got some prayers. No, wrong kind of prayer. Here to pray good things. And so since you'd been doing that, it's like you'd been doing the biblical thing, and all of a sudden God gives you an opportunity like, oh, there she is. Oh, son of a gun, there she is. Mm-hmm. Yep. Mm-hmm. And through one door, you think, no, I got to go do something with it. But yeah. You'd already taken the first step. God's given the second step. And then you get this incredible relationship. But if you hadn't taken the first step, that wouldn't have happened.
Yeah.
And it would not have happened.
And she was such a major part of my healing.
Yes, you've told so many
And
stories.
Still to this day, when I saw her last week, I said, oh, guess what I learned from my lunch today? And Joe's like, could you go down there and have lunch with her every week?
Can we make this a weekly thing? I'll get you a round trip ticket. Here we go.
Yep.
Listen, there's some of you that are listening today. You may be a pastor or a pastor's wife. Maureen travels and speaks, and I would encourage you to have her come and minister to your people.
Yes.
If you, because she's powerful. She has so much richness to share that we could be here all week long, and we would just start to scratch the surface. Every time I'm with this woman, she's truly iron sharpening iron. I walk away a better person. So if you want to get in touch with her, you can contact her directly at Maureen Gray, 7 at gmail.com. Or, of course, you can reach us here at mail at joemcgeeministries.com. And we'll be happy to forward the information on to her because we think she's a powerful ministry.
She'd be a blessing. Yeah.
Yes, please. Just consider having her in any capacity. She'd certainly bless your people. Hey, thanks, Maureen, for joining us again today. We love having you.
And that's it, boys and girls. We'll talk to you later.
A chink in the armor.
Hey, thanks for listening today. Be sure to join us Monday, Wednesday, and Friday to hear more of what God can do in your life. He's got a great future for you and your family, and we are here to help you get there. Make sure and go to our website, joemcgeeministries.com. We've got all sorts of materials, books, DVDs, you name it, all there to help you, your marriage, and your family succeed.